Everybody, hello, my friends. I give you my peace. Let's start with an opening prayer. Father of love, we come before you and we say thank you. We appreciate all the time that we are able to spend with you. And in this brief moment of time, we bring our hearts before you, our cares and concerns, but see, Father, the love and also the support that we have for you in this work that you have provided for us to be a part of. There are many things that rest on our heart this evening. We pray that HS will guide our conversation, that no one leaves empty-handed, that we all receive something special from you. We appreciate the ability to tune into the services despite what's currently going on, and that you continue to feed us and strengthen us. We pray, Father, for our cares and concerns, for the difficulties that are taking place in the family's lives. You know everything. We also know, Father, that all of this is temporary. What is the most important thing is that we as guardians and support try to do our job for you, that we can help bring the bride home. That's what rests in our hearts, Father. That's what rings in our souls. And we wait for that day when Jesus comes that we can all be sent home. Provide now your peace for us. We thank you for everything you've done. And if there's something I've forgotten, then I know you'll cover it. And according to what we ask, in your name we pray. We love you. Amen. Can you start the recording, Fred?
I have.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. I spoke with Father. This is what he had to say. My dear family, you all look well. I am very proud of all of you for the way you have been handling yourselves during these trying times. You have often wondered why I have not addressed this pandemic. Triland will share more information with you as to why you should not be concerned. And that is all I will say on this subject, for there are more important things that we should speak of. Your hearts and souls are what I focus on, your spiritual life and your faith as well. Yes, we have not been able to celebrate Holy Communion together for some time, and I know my children long for the day when we will sup once more. In the meantime, I have chocked full the services with my living bread of life to sustain all of my children, and you have partaken. There is no concern for fear at this time. Trilin will also speak on this subject. When you trust in me, fear should simply melt away. But because you are human, you may forget this. This is just a gentle reminder that we are always with you no matter what. I have given you my word, and I never break my word. This message will be short and sweet. For I have but my love to extend to you, my comfort during these times, and mine and Jesus' grace to support you and your families. The love I have for you will never lessen. It only grows. And my heart aches for the day when we will all embrace each other in my kingdom. Now, keep fighting the world and its temptations, and overcome thyself. Did you see what I said there? I threw a little old English in there at the end. My boys and I love you very much. Does anybody have any concerns, questions, something you want to add? Let's see. For a deeper understanding, I want to read to you Isaiah 12, 1 through 2. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For yea, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Can you guys please mute your microphones? We can hear everything going on. Thank you. I wanted to bring this up because sometimes when you and I are counseling other people, they'll say, it's been a long time since I've spoken to the Lord, or I'm angry at the Lord. He doesn't want to hear me. He would never even give me the time of day. And I was kind of sitting on this verse for a while, because it even says here, though his anger is turned away, you comfort me. We know that Father is not human. He holds no grudges against anybody. And it's our responsibility as guardians to bring these things to people's attention. Especially in this time, I think people are turning more to Father because they're freaking out and they're concerned and scared, and they have a reason to seek him. But we always know that Father is our strength and our salvation comes from Him. And I think sometimes you and I get wrapped up in this world and we start to put, we focus our attention on things that really don't matter. They don't really impact us as we would think they would. And as we said in our opening prayer, our most important focus is serving Father and helping bring the bride home. So I don't want other things to distract us. I also found another verse. It's 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So basically, if we don't trust Father, then we're going to be afraid. If we do love Him and we trust in Him, we should have no fear ever. And even Father brought that out in his message to us, which I thought was very timely because I've had these passages now for over a month. And he ends his whole statement to us by saying, now keep fighting the world and its temptations and overcome thyself. I took this message on Saturday, yesterday. And what I thought interesting was we listened to the Apostle Orlovsky service this morning. And basically he brought out the fact that we need to stop sinning and we can't just come to Father with the knowledge that he'll forgive our sins no matter what we do and we're going to keep sinning anyway. So I thought it was interesting that Father kind of ended that with his message, but also Apostle Orlovsky, if you have a chance, listen to that service. If you have, then you know what I'm talking about. We sometimes, I think, again, get caught up in, it's okay, Father will forgive me if I do these things. I'm admonishing everybody in this moment to actually make more of an effort to focus in on your shortcomings. We've talked about this over the years. Pick one or two. Focus in on them. Don't let them take hold of you. Pay attention to what you say, what you think, how we might accuse somebody, or even in the state of Michigan with everything that's going on, how we might judge the governor and just call our names. It's not okay. Let the world do what they want, but we have a higher responsibility. It's not okay for us to judge anybody. Does anybody have any questions about these two passages? Now, for the not worthless but interesting tidbits, Father and I were talking, and he asked me to look up the 5 worst plagues in this world, because everybody thinks that COVID-19 is the worst thing that's happened to everybody, and they keep saying that the United States has more deaths than any other country and blah, blah, blah. And what's funny is that it's all lies. So I actually pulled data. In the United States, there's been 88,237 deaths. Based on the population of 2019, that's only a 2.8% of the population. In the world, if you take the world, there's been 309,000 deaths. And if you do the math, that's 0.004% of the population. This is not as big a deal as everyone keeps making it to be. And Father said that the government is doing all of this so that you would focus on them, you would trust them, and not put your trust in Him. And this is exactly what everybody is doing. The second worst that we've had here is the HIV/AIDS peak when it was in 2005 to 2012. Since 1981, there's been 36 million deaths. The flu pandemic of 1968, there were 1 million deaths. The Asian flu of 1956 to 1958 was 2 million deaths. And then there was a flu pandemic in 1918. Were 20 to 50 million deaths. And of the 500 million people affected in the 1918 pandemic, the mortality rate was estimated at 10% to 20%, with up to 25 million people dying in the first 25 weeks alone. I'm bringing this attention to you, to your attention, for the simple fact, as Father said, this is not as big a deal as everybody keeps making it out to be. Here's fact. Here's proof, and we just need to continue to respect what the government is asking us to do. We may think it's stupid. It's crazy. Father's given his word to us that none of us will be affected by it. But we have to also adhere to what's going on. Personally, for me, I think it's fantastic because I've been able to work from home this entire time and save money and gas. And I'm sure other people have had positive things that have happened. I get to spend every waking moment with my wife. We have tested our relationship to the utmost, and we are in love with each other. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's precious, but we're doing well. Does anybody have any questions on this subject?
I've been trying to get a hold of Fred. Susan can't log in through her iPad. I've been trying to get a hold of you through Messenger and texting. Can you Messenger her?
I already did.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to do that, but she's been trying to get on the call. Sorry, that's not a question, Trilin, but...
No, that's okay. Hey, next time, if you know that somebody can't get on, stop me, and we'll wait.
Well, you were right. You were on a roll, so I've been trying to help her, but I'm not... I don't have an iPad, and I don't know what to do, so I'm at the end of my rope. So, okay. You want to hold the meeting until she logs in?
Or? Yeah, we'll just pause and play some music. It's
interesting about the data. I've been trying to use the data to try to calm everybody down, and there's such an emotional...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound negative. Yes, there you go. Here that... And again, for legitimate purposes, right? Most of my friends are in their 70s and 80s and 90s here.
Sure.
So they hear about how violently people are dying and how horrible the death is. And that's all they're hearing. And today was wonderful. It was, even though it was hot, I'm not exaggerating. Every bench and chair and every person in a wheelchair was sitting out in front of the building. There's probably 20 of us. It was wonderful. Everybody was calm. We had a great time. Different people would come out and want to know what was going on because we were all hanging out. But I've been praying for peace over here because, you know, Florida's doing good. And I even said yesterday in our microcosm, even in our building, we're doing wonderful. We shouldn't worry. But of course, everybody turns on the news. And unfortunately for most of these people, they don't have iPads. They don't have phones. They only have the broadcast, right? So they're slaves to the nonsense that's being put over. But I it's interesting that the data you brought up, and unfortunately the data doesn't matter. It's such an emotional thing here. But it's working. I mean, and not that my job is to calm everybody down, but I try to be the same person, right? It is my job.
Yes, be Trisis. Our job is to protect the bride, but also to bring comfort to those around us, which is what we do. It's actually another topic we're going to discuss a little later in the meeting.
Okay.
Well, hey, Trilin.
Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just no head. You go ahead. I'm done.
Okay. I was just sorry. I'm late. This is Atmos. In a previous meeting, you've told us to to stand up to bullies and to not allow them to get away with things. My outlook on this is that we're being bullied by certain levels of government.
Correct.
And to what point does that bullying statement say meet up with do what the government tells you? I mean, because at some point we have the right to push back, and we should, I think.
People have been, but all it does is just exacerbate the situation here in our state, right? Because the governor is acting like we're a bunch of spoiled children.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you. I've penned letters to my local representative.
Good.
So, I mean, I've gone that much just to ask her what, they're doing to stop this and let her know my feelings. So, I mean, not that I'm saying, hey, you're down with the governor or anything, but definitely letting them know I don't appreciate what's going on.
No, I'm talking about the whole social distancing thing, wearing a mask in public. I mean, that's the least. That's the least we can do. Do I agree with all of this? No, I certainly don't. Does my wife? No, because she actually would like to get back to work, but can't. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
But no, you're fine with the way you're looking at this.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Yeah, I mentioned to somebody that earlier this week, and what's interesting is this person's not really religious. But they had mentioned how, oh, God this, God that, God's going to, anyway, wait a minute, stop. I said, this is not God. This is man. This is confusion. This is Satan. Mm-hmm. I said, this is not peaceful. I said, don't use this as an excuse to blame God. I said, we have the right to screw up his plans anytime we want. And she goes, the right? I went, well, you know what I mean. We have the ability, I guess, is the better way to say it. And she went, I agree. And I said, we can still follow what the government says and not like what they're doing. I said, and we can pray for wisdom and strength. I said, but don't think that this is God, you know, striking us down. And again, I made the point, if God was going to create an error in our way of life, we would certainly know it without any mistake. You know, right. There'd be some black cloud or some lightning strike or some comet. Then maybe even we would go, well, I don't know, is this from God? But I said, don't let the confusion and the anxiety confuse you. And she's like, oh, I never even thought about it that way. So I guess
good
I'm trying
you.
To emphasize this.
But you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All I have to say is being pregnant and not having to wear real clothes is the most amazing thing ever. Seriously, sweatpants and t-shirts as I'm getting huge is just amazing.
We've spoken to family in different parts, and the mother said she's kind of glad that we were having a FaceTime kind of moment because she was happy to tell her son to put pants on because he hasn't had pants on for weeks.
Join the club.
Somebody came down in the wheelchair with just a long shirt, and I didn't say anything, but I pointed it to one of the administrators and went, they're not wearing pants. And she's like, oh my God, oh no. I was like, you go say it, that's your job. I'm like, I'm just gonna point it out, you go point out. And she's like, you gotta go upstairs and put pants on, please.
Everybody still there?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
we'll just keep waiting.
I'll delete all this stuff from the recording, too.
I can hear my mom singing, patient, soul, be patient.
Good for her.
Okay, I will mute my phone, but I will put you on speaker, and everybody will talk real loud, then I'll put you right next to it. Here we go. Okay, everybody. Suzanne.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
When it started,
we can hear you. All right.
Okay.
Trisus. Trisus is going to talk to us about the Baha'i faith. I actually have a friend who's... yes, what?
Before we move on, can I just make a couple comments about COVID-19 and that?
You sure can.
It seems to me that this is just... It's a big test, but we can't get drawn into the test.
That's right.
Our test is... let the world be the way the world's going to be. And it's amazing to me how political this has become.
Right.
The perfect example of what politics does in this world. It destroys everything. I mean, really it does, because
yes.
You know, we can be one side or the other, and whatever beliefs we are more aligned to, it's so sad how far apart everybody is. But if we realize that we're spiritual, we're guardians, we want to be the bride, it's not about this world. We have to make our way through it. And in doing that, we have to be at peace and bring peace.
Correct.
So to dovetail into that, I think, like, when this first started, I had fear, right? But fear, to me, is a motivator, right? And fear makes me look into finding out the situation that is at hand. But it also draws me, for me personally, it draws me closer to God, right? But once I'm in that proximity with God, and I have the Trinity overshadowing me and the Holy Spirit speaking to me, then that fear is gone, right? It'd be like if you go into, you know, you see in the movies all these guys in a battle, right? They line up, you know, and they're fearful at first, right? But then what happens is, once they commit to going into the battle, it's courage, it's strength, you know, that motivates you and fear to win that battle, that you will not be overcome by the adversary, you know. And that's where we need to really make sure that for those that we are surrounded by, that we give them peace and give them faith and strength, that they're not overcome by fear. Because what happens when you're overcome by fear and you're a soldier? You're a coward, right? Because you're frozen, because you're not participating in the battle, and you're not protecting your brother to the left or your sister to the right in that battle, right? So what we need to convey is that that courage, that confidence, that faith, that hope, that that understanding that we will not be defeated, because God's work is immense. He's seen it from the beginning to the end. He gave his son upon the cross, but that wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. And so what we must do is strengthen ourselves and gird, like you hear in the Bible a lot, of, gird yourself, you know, gird yourself for the battle to come, you know. So fear is the, like the spark plug that motivates you to get to the place where you need to be in order for you to overcome your battle.
Thank you. Trices?
Okay. So the Baha'i faith, so let me put this out. It's, you're going to learn some things about this religious organization. And I promise I didn't choose this because of what's happening in the world right now, but it's kind of apropos that this was one of the six that I had to choose from on the page. And you'll know what I mean in a few minutes here. The Baha'i faith was started in Persia, which is Iran. I'm going to kill the names because they're Persian or Iranian. I'm going to try to say them the best that I can, so I apologize. Basically, the religion is about a unity of faith, the unity of races, the unity of creeds and all classes. It was started in the early 1800s, and the belief was that God sends manifestations, and these manifestations, like Jesus or Muhammad, and they list a whole bunch of others, are there to guide the people into a better existence. They have three central figures in their religion, Bab, it's pronounced Bab, Bob, Bahullah, and then Abu Baha, and then the grandson of the original founder, Shoghi Effendi, which was funny that I can actually pronounce that. All of these men were pretty much persecuted and executed by the Persians or the Iranian government. Their original teachings were of the Sunni faith, and the Sunnis even at that point thought, you know what, no, this is not what we want, so they kind of exiled them. They were always on the outside. And unfortunately, even though the religion grew, the leaders of the religion were pretty much exiled and killed. Some of them were tortured. Even having said that, the religion is quite large. It's over 120 countries. I think Trina was going to say we have a friend whose mother is Baha'i. There's in Winnetka, Illinois, they have a huge temple. Correct. It's beautiful. It's a very modern religion, even though it's about as old as ours. So it's interesting. The more I learned about this, the more my heart started to hurt. There's some really weird spirits and energies around this religion. So if you do learn more about it, put up your rose bushes and protect your space. Even now, my chest is on fire, and I've asked Father, like, why? And he's like, it's the spirits. So it's interesting. The faith itself is beautiful. It really has the same style of teachings like most religions, where you want to be better in your life. You should be better to human beings. You should try to establish yourself as an example of a better person. And through that, you will have an opportunity to be closer to God. So it's not that far off from the different religions we've spoken about. What's different about this one is that they say they have a respect for all other religions. And they say that, but they hold themselves off as being better or different. If you read through the texts and even on their website, it's pretty innocuous, but I almost got irritated reading it, which is really interesting because I normally when I do the lessons or type up, I can sit and be very curious about this. But the more I learned, the more I got irritated. I want to go back into their basic tenets, though. They're taught that and I highlighted this on my copy, and I'm actually going to repost Fred something for everybody else because I went back through and changed a few things in the copy you have up. But heaven and hell are taught to be spiritual states of nearness or distance from God that describe relationships in this world and the next, and not physical places of reward or punishment achieved after death. And I thought that was pretty profound because it's something similar to what we believe. God doesn't punish. In some religions, they believe that hell is the place where there's pitchforks and guys in red pajamas, you know, poking you with sticks, right? But this faith holds off the bad, right? And it's just a place where we're still with God, but you're closer or farther away, and that's what we believe about the realms of the departed. So I highlight it in my copy and I repost that. But they go into some other things that most religions don't. So they believe in the unity of God, the unity of religion, unity of humanity, equality of men and women, elimination of prejudice, world peace, and a new world order. So that's, I promise I didn't bring this up just because of what's going on, but it's part of one of their biggest tenets: harmony of religion and science, independent investigation of truth, universal compulsory education. So that means that everyone on the planet should go through us like K-12, like we do, right? So that's our government. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's the first religion I found that they actually put that into their social principles and beliefs. They want a universal auxiliary language, obedience to government and non-involvement in partisan politics, eliminations of extremes of wealth and poverty, and prohibition of slavery. So these are all parts. So they go more into the physical aspects of being here on this planet. It's even more detailed. In the first part of the religion lesson usually is me posting the hierarchy or the lessons. It's so complicated that I tried to skim off basic parts. It's very complicated on how they came up with the messages, how to be a Baha'i is better than not to be a Baha'i. It's evolving. And it's even in part of their lessons that every 1,000 years, God will send another messenger to basically change the religion to whatever is needed at the time. They believe that they're part of the Muslim religion, kind of how the Jewish religion created Christianity. So that was interesting. But they go into so much more of the physical part of being a good citizen, being a good person, being a good participant in the United Nations, being a good participant in the one world government, that's what started to get really irritating. They have beautiful things that they have donations, and they talk about how being a good Baha'i is essential to being closer to God. But then it's got all the other interesting things that normally most religions don't talk about. Like even in our religious teachings, it talks about, you know, listening to the government, being a good citizen, and then that's it, right? We really don't go into, you know, what is a good new apostolic in the world, because we really don't want to be part of it. We're here participating, but they go into so much detail that it's mind-numbing. It has a hierarchy of government, I guess, is to say they have, it's very complicated. It's almost like a governmental body. And it's interesting. They have a separate calendar that's 19 months, 19 days. They celebrate their New Year on the same New Year as the Muslim New Year around the vernal equinox. So they do have quite a bit in common with the Middle Eastern religions, but then there's all the other stuff that, that puts them ahead of where the one world government should be. They're really pushing for, and you talk about a unity, not just souls unifying under Jesus or Muhammad or whatever religious icon they have, but here before the rapture, so to speak. So if you want to learn more, there's links on the handout. I would say protect your space. It's interesting. I spent hours down the rabbit hole reading on Wikipedia, and there's so many pages, and even on their website, you can click and click and click and click. So if you want to learn more about it, I encourage you, if you don't, the handout is, I want to say good enough, but it gives you the necessary information. Does anybody have any questions or anything that they'd like to discuss?
Yeah. So based on your last couple of points, it sounds like on paper, their beliefs are somewhat similar to ours in that we should be good people. And there isn't necessarily like a physical heaven or hell. God doesn't punish. But in reality, they seem to focus more on the worldly and achieving greatness here. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
I wouldn't say greatness, but they really do focus a bulk of their religion and their being a good member of the Baha'i faith on how you act here, what you can influence here. I don't want to talk negative about it. It's very difficult to not go that way, but they have the afterlife is almost secondary. So you are picking that up. That is being a better person here and making this place better is the biggest tenet of this religion, which is interesting because we have not come across that. I don't know if we'll come across it again, but yeah, you're getting it.
Okay, thanks.
So my spidey senses have been tingling. It's interesting about their faith, about a one world government, about a unity of complete faith and world peace and government. Language. What's very interesting to me is that the Baha'i faith, you mentioned that they were exiled out of Persia.
Yeah.
Their headquarters sits on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is the place where Elijah fought the 10,000 or the 100 prophets of Baal.
Interesting.
And if you look at that religion of Baal, it is, you know, you had Ahab, the king at the time, where he was supposed to be the one that ruled, the one that gave the truth, right? And the prophets of Baal went along with it because he was the king. And Elijah was alone, basically, right? I mean, it mentions where he went to the cave to die. He wanted to die.
Right.
And it mentions how he was like, I'm alone. I'm completely alone. Why don't you just destroy Israel, you know? And then the birds came and fed him, right? But it's so interesting to me how this spirit is so ancient and it manifests itself in the same place
Yeah, I tried to. Yeah, I tried. I resisted the temptation to look outside the religious part of this and to not sully the lesson with the obvious parts of what we're all thinking of, the natural part and what we all fear, you know, and the whole one world government brings shudders to my spine, right?
It's like the Antichrist.
Right.
Well, and, hey, Tristus, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So I understand that, you know, when we're learning about these other religions, that we're trying to be objective.
Yeah.
But why? Because we understand our faith. And just hear me out, because we understand our faith and we understand our calling and we know our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We understand many things in the Bible that are going to happen. There are more that we don't understand. But I guess I'm just saying to you, don't be afraid to say, okay, this is what they believe, but this is where I have a little bit of an issue, and this is where we have to be careful.
Well,
and, you know, does that make sense?
Go ahead, sorry. No, I understand what you're saying. There was so much that I wanted to go into that it would have had nothing to do with the religious part of the lesson. I wanted to not go into more than just the tertiary part of what we normally do, right?
We don't need the minutiae.
Right. If you want to go look, you can go look more. But you're right, Dan. It's not that I'm fearful of pointing out the obvious. It's I want to bring an objective view.
Sure, yeah.
As a neutral party.
Good.
And let you go and decide more. So, no, if we were having this session over a beer, my opinion would be much more negative, right? And if we were talking, because I even shared, there's a young lady here at the desk that I print out this and she's interested. She reads these. And I said, be ready for this next one. Because she said, the last ones are beautiful. And I went, well, this next one's going to be interesting. And she's like, why? I'm like, no, I'll let you read it first. And then I'll let you read the questions, right? She'll bring your questions. But she's brilliant. She's a very intuitive young lady. She's going into the psychology and the study of the brain. And it's very interesting. Wow. So I want her take on this. But Dan, I understand what you're saying. And like Trilin said, I want to give you the facts. And then you can look further if you want. Because there's so much negative that could have been said about this. And I really don't want to do that because our friend's mom is a very nice lady.
Cheers.
I don't see her grabbing a rake and starting to like beat people because they're not following what, you know, Bahula said. Right. So on the outset, the religion itself is a beautiful, goal. But it's to me, it sounds like there's some other things that they want that might not work with other religions, I guess, is the conclusion of what I want to say on that. So,
right. And ultimately, the reason why we're doing this is simply because I wanted everybody to get a general taste and feeling about what other religions are teaching out there so that we're not blindsided when someone from the Baha'i faith stands in front of us one day touting what they believe. It's not our position to instruct them that they're wrong in what they're doing, but we at least have an understanding of where they're coming from. So that's why I'm glad we're doing these things. So thank you very much.
Sure.
Anybody else have anything else they want to add on that? Okay. I want to just bring a couple things to everybody's attention that maybe you're wondering. Michael is still managing the bind and sweep for every service that everybody tunes into. But when we get back to the local services, then it still befalls you as the guardian to continue to manage your congregation. Right now, it's almost impossible for us to do that. So I asked Michael to make sure he manages that for everybody. So he's doing it for everybody who tunes in. Then we still go to their homes. We do the bind and sweep in everybody's house. He still goes into eternity for their relatives. And that's still taken care of. I also have had some difficulty sometimes because we're at home. It's not being in Father's house per se. And sometimes it's difficult for me to listen to the service and focus on it. So I wanted to remind everybody that if you're having that struggle too, don't forget to get in the center of your mind, create a gold sun above your head, and focus your attention then on what the brother is saying. And you may find that it's a little bit easier to pay attention. The other thing that I wanted to ask everybody is I need you to stay active. Now, somebody's going to say to me, well, how am I going to do that? And I'll just share with you some of the things that I've been doing recently to stay active. Going through the workday, sometimes I get a brief moment where my brain isn't ready to explode and something comes across my heart, or some thought of eternity comes across my heart. Well, then I pause for a moment and I think about that group of souls or that individual, and I have a brief conversation with Father about it. During the day, you could have a small prayer for someone who comes across your heart. When you get a free moment, you can call somebody and just connect and share Father's peace and comfort with them. If you want to do something on your own for yourself, then you could read something spiritual so that you could realign yourself with Father and Jesus' teaching. These are things that you and I can do to help ourselves. And if we're learning and we're staying active in our learning, you're being active. Of course, meditation, so that we can work on ourselves, is also one of the things that we should continue to do during this time. And sometimes we kind of get too comfortable or complacent, and we're not paying attention. So I just wanted to bring all those things to everybody's attention. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add at that point?
Well, thanks for that, Trailand, because I was getting to the point where I was going to ask if anybody else was getting kind of bored with going to church via YouTube. It's starting to get stale, and I miss being in church, and I miss, you know, Father's children and seeing them. And you know, I'm not maybe the most socially outgoing person, but I'm starting to realize you don't miss what you got until you know, lose it. So
right,
that's definitely been kind of coming into play here lately. And I also appreciate the fact that, you know, we're doing everything we can to kind of try and stay in touch. I mean, it's weird because we protect our space when we leave our home, and we do all this stuff on a daily basis because it's just part of our daily ritual, so to speak, right? It's just part of the rut that we do every day. We may think of it as a rut, but it's actually a good thing because it keeps us in line, and it keeps us doing the things we're supposed to be doing. And this has felt like one giant long weekend. Even though I'm working from home, it still feels like I don't have to do any of that stuff because, you know what I mean? At times, right. I'm like, well, I don't have to do that because I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have to protect this space. So thank you for bringing that up.
No problem. Anybody else? Okay. Last month, Q had a couple of experiences, and we just didn't have the time, so I asked if he would share them now with us. Q.
Thank you. Happy to. So I had an interesting experience with my brother Don, and most of you know him, and he was demon-possessed, and it was a bad situation a long time ago, and Trilane was able to step in and help. And since then, it's awesome. He was the band leader in our band, and Diane sent me a text and said, have you talked to Don lately? And I said, no. She said, call him. And so I did. And I called him right away, got on the phone, and he was kind of a mess. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, I just sat down to try to write a song, and I got halfway through it, and I just had a panic attack, and I can't handle this stuff. And he had a heart attack about, I can't even remember, time is fleeting, but 3, 4, 5 months ago. And they put him on Xanax because he had panic attacks. And I said, well, why are you having these attacks? He said, well, I'm afraid. Okay, what are you afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of dying. I said, okay, but why are you afraid of dying? He said, what do you mean, why am I afraid of dying? I don't want to leave. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm just asking you the questions. I'm not judging. I'm just asking you the questions. And he said, well, I'm afraid to leave Robin behind and the kids. And I said, okay, that makes good sense. So now, is fear positive or negative? Well, it's negative. Okay. Where does negative come from? Does it ever come from our Heavenly Father? No. And I said, so Satan is messing with you and making you, or giving you this fear, and you're just taking it. And I said, why? Let it go. And he said, well, And we got through and he said, that makes good sense. And then he said, well, I don't want to die. And I said, okay, do you think you're really going to die? You were saved three times on the table. Our Heavenly Father wants you. He needs you. There are things that we have to do. Give it to Father and let him have it and let it go. And he did. And I saw a change, felt a change, heard a change. And it was just, he was himself again. And it was awesome. So we continued to talk. We talked about becoming the bride, doing what the bride does, and doing the work, being a testifier, a teacher, a messenger. And in that part of the conversation, it came out, the word will not return to the Father void. And this, it just came out, and then we continued on. I'm going to kind of fast forward for a second here. That was on a Monday or a Tuesday. I began preparing for the service, and that was the last service that we were actually together. The word was out of Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, and that's where that comes from. The word will not return to the Father void. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't say it exactly that way. So then we moved on with the conversation, but it was so nice that that was the divine service guide. It was like HS just saying, look, we're right here, and we're involved. So back to the conversation with him. He brought up the band and said, you know, we've been told we're going to come back together, but we're not coming back together. And I don't know why. And it really bothers me that it's been 5 or 6 years now. And as soon as he said that, Holy Spirit told me what it was. And I said, oh, Don, you won't believe this. This is so cool. And I said to him, okay, when we were in the band, and you were leading us and you were in it, you were practicing and you were being the bride. You were doing what our Heavenly Father wants you to do and wanted you to do. And it was beautiful, right? Yeah, it was great. And I said, then you'd go to work and you'd be driving down the highway and someone would cut you off and you cussed at them and you hated them. And he said, whoa, yeah, I did. And then I continued. Then you'd go to someone's house to fix an appliance. They'd answer the door, and they were kind of dirty. You looked in the house. It was filthy. They had animals. Animals crapped all over the house, and you judged them. And he said, yeah, I did. And I said, you know, I'm your brother, and I'm the Holy Spirit gave us this because I can say that to you. I can't say that to someone else. I can't just lay it out. But you agreed with it because you know that that's the case. Why would our Heavenly Father bless us with the band coming back together when we're not doing our part? We have to be the bride in every aspect of our life, not just when we're in church, but everywhere. And we have to do what He wants us to do. I said, there you go. And he said, oh, that is so fantastic. Man, I can't believe it. So we had a nice conversation. We hung up, and then I began preparing for the service the next day, and I was amazed. I sent him a text that said, if you have any doubt that the Holy Spirit was involved in our conversation, this is the Divine Service Guide word for this coming Sunday. He sent me a text back, and he said, wow, that's awesome. Read verse 12. I called him right away and asked what he was talking about. He said he wrote a song. He sat down right after that, wrote a song. It was beautiful. He recorded it, turned it up loud, opened all the windows and the doors, and the whole lake heard him. And he said, and the earth shook. And now, I don't have a Bible in front of me, but do read Isaiah 55, verses 10, 11, and 12. Because 12 states, and the earth shook, and something about writing beautiful music. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is so cool. We know our Heavenly Father is with us. But when He shows us like that, that is love. It's unbelievable. And I can even remember at that time looking up and saying, this is so cool. And you don't have to do this. We already believe, but thank you. But that was an awesome experience. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Any experiences you guys may have had? We have a few minutes left. Okay.
I don't have any experiences to share, but I do want to just say that I miss everybody, miss seeing everybody. We love you guys. Hasn't been the easiest time for all of us, but we're getting through it with Father's help, of course. Looking forward to it all being over, and hopefully we can all get together at some point in time and see each other's faces and actually talk in person. Looking forward to that day.
Amen. Okay, that's all I had. I asked Atmos if he would close the meeting for us. So, Atmos, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to say thank you for allowing us to come together as a team, as Trilands team. We thank you for the love that you have shown us, Father, the deep, amazing, compassionate love that you have for all of us. You've shown it to us on levels that no one else has really ever seen it. It's available to all of them, Father, but we just ask that you would grant us the strength we need to help them see that, to help them feel that. We know that your plan is moving forward. We know that you are working for the good of all of us. We may not understand it, and we don't need to, even though at times we wish we could. We thank you for your presence with us on a daily basis. We ask that you would strengthen us, grant us the peace we need, keep watch over our family and friends, and of course our brothers and sisters in faith who are unable to join us. Please bless the little ones as they enter the room now to soak up some energy. We love them all, and we ask that you would bless them. You are our Father. You are our guide. We just ask that you, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, would continue to be with us, strengthen us, help us to grow, Father, and help us to be the guardians that you need us to be. Please help those that are struggling now with the struggles that they may have, whatever it may be, whether it's financial or physical or spiritual. Help us all, Father, to overcome those things and to learn from them as you need us to. Again, Father, we thank you for everything because we know it is from you. We love you so very much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Love you guys.